What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to, or watching as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about salvation by grace through faith. We're going to explain Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. So I'm going to tell you a little bit why you're getting this podcast, and then I'm going to just go into the article that I prepared, and hopefully you'll enjoy this. Hopefully you'll be informed. For a lot of you that hear this in my listening audience, this is going to be review. I'm not telling you a thing that you don't already know. I actually preach this Sunday, but with every sermon, there are three sermons. There's the sermon that the preacher prepares. There's the sermon that the preacher preaches. And there's the sermon that the preacher wish he would have preached when he's thinking about what he preached on his way home. And what you're going to get in the article is the sermon that I wished I would have preached whenever I was preaching on Sunday. But, you know, c'est la vie. Anyway, frustrations are normal. Did you know that often people need a listening ear and support as they work through the varied situations of life? Sometimes those situations are so complex and overwhelming that we need some extra support. This is why LaBeth started Be a Mindful Soul. At BeAMindfulSoul.com, LaBeth's mission is to offer anything from a profession or from a listening ear and the advice of an older sister to finding professional help in your area if that's what's needed. Be sure to go to www.BeAMindfulSoul.com and check out all the services that she has to offer. She can help you answer questions about therapy treatment or other mental health services that you might need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and she can help coach you through the steps you need to take in regards to finding the peace and stability that you deserve. Discover peace and tranquility in life's turmoil with www.BeAMindfulSoul.com. Remember, LaBeth offers a free consult, and anything that you need, she can help you with, whether that's finding a professional or whether that's just being that sounding board. Folks, we have a good podcast today, I think. Good to see everybody. Hello, Holly H. And I have, let me just, while I'm doing this, I'm going to share, I'm going to copy the link, and I'm going to put it into the, now, I've put the link to the Substack. If you go to Substack, I don't know, just type in Substack and search Christianity Now, or go to the link and subscribe to the Substack. It's totally free. You'll get email notifications of all of the articles I do. I've been averaging an article a day, even on Saturdays. And basically I'm using Substack as an outlet for my creativeness. I really enjoy writing these articles. I enjoy putting these articles together. And I have found that I enjoy doing a podcast associated with the article or vice versa. Anyway, that's what we've got here. God bless everybody that's listening. And remember, be the algorithm for us. Like, subscribe, and share. All of that good stuff. Let's get into the podcast. So why are you getting this podcast today? Well, if you've noticed, I've been focusing so much on these fundamental elements of Christianity. Mostly I've been talking about baptism, but the reason I've been talking about baptism is not because I think it's so all-fired important to the exclusion of other things, but that this area of baptism is where we are attacked. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20 has an interesting turn of phrase. Basically, during the building of the wall, the workers were few, the labor was great, and the enemies that were trying to stop them were greater than the enemy, than the children of Israel trying to complete the work. So Nehemiah says, listen, we don't have enough to defend every inch of the wall. So when you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither, and our God will fight for us. folks, we have to defend where we're attacked, and we're attacked in how we are saved. We are delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son by acts of obedience. And that's the case that I make in the article. Well, I put an article out, one article about salvation, and that it's through obedient works. And I said, baptism is necessary for salvation. And I got a lot of pushback on the Christianity Now Facebook page, which is understandable. I'm not complaining. I'm glad. That means people are seeing the content. But the arguments that are used are just so uninformed. There was even people talking about Mark 16:15-16, going into all the world and preach a gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Listen, I haven't heard this argument in years. That, well, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and it doesn't say he that believeth not and is baptized not shall be damned. And I'm like, that argument is outdated. I don't know of any serious Bible scholar that affirms faith-only salvation that still promotes that argument. Like, it's been debunked. Grammatically, it's debunked. Like, it's a straw man, if ever there was a straw man. Think about this just really quickly. He who chews and swallows his food shall live. He that chews not shall die. Or excuse me. Yeah. He that chews not shall die. Are you telling me that chewing is not part of the process? All right. Just think about that. Now, yeah, John Exum. It's a straw man argument. It is a straw man argument. Yes, absolutely. Katie Powers, what woman do we talk to for free consult? Please post a link. www.beamindfulsoul.com. I tell you what, I wonder. I don't think that I can, that I can do a lower third, I thought. But maybe I can't. Oh, there's captions. Yeah, add. Watch this. Bear with me. Go to www.beamindfulsoul.com, and that's on the screen there. You should be able to just type that in, beamindfulsoul.com. Thank you for asking, by the way. And LaBeth is a mental health professional. She is currently licensed in Arkansas. We are not in Arkansas. We're in Canada. And she just submitted her paperwork, talked to the board here in Canada. They have contacted the board in Arkansas. Everything's going good. And she should be in an actual professional therapy position by the end of the year. She's actually put her resume and credentials out here in Canada. And kind of exciting stuff, really. She's going to be a counselor. It's a little different nomenclature, but She's going to be a counselor here in Canada. Anyway, good stuff. Thank you, Katie Powers. All right, let me get back to the chats. Yeah, you're in Massachusetts. That's pretty cool. Yeah, so just since you're asking, what LaBeth does is falls under the realm of life coaching, which incidentally, anybody can do. Like, I don't have any formal credentials. And I can hang a shingle that says I'm a life coach. The reason, like a lot of professional therapists, in order to supplement income, or if they don't want to deal with the hassle of licensure, they hang a shingle and they function under the auspices of a life coach. And there's waivers and stuff like that to sign. Everybody that starts with LaBeth in this process, if she doesn't say that you need a professional in your area, she will take you on as a client, and you'll basically be a life coach client. And again, you can look all of that up, but you sign a waiver that says that you understand that what LaBeth is offering is not therapy. And that's very, very important. And she's had that since the beginning of her practice. Anyway, I left a narcissistic sociopath and I need the life coach that is faith-based to help me regain the love and stability. So I feel it's a miracle I stumbled into this preaching podcast. That is amazing, Katie. Look, that's exactly what LaBeth specializes in. So, yeah, go to www.beamindfulsoul.com. And she has some stuff on her website that's free. She's also started a Substack, because Substack, to me, Substack is better than having a website, just in my humble opinion. It's a little bit less hassle. Maybe it's because I don't know a lot about websites and stuff. But LaBeth has started a Substack. She has www.beamindfulsoul. You can sign up on her Substack. You can sign up on her Be A Mindful Soul. You can reach out to her. There's ways on the website that you can schedule a consult. And yeah, she would love to sit down and talk with you through Zoom or whatever way she does is encrypted. It follows more guidelines than she's legally and ethically required to follow. So she goes a step beyond to protect your privacy. But anyway, that's all I've got about that. Thank you so much. And, blessings to LaBeth. Thank you to whoever said that. You are evidently listening in the We Talk Truth group or on my personal profile, because all it says is Facebook user. Anyway, all right. So the reason that we're getting the types of podcasts we've been getting to lately is because they've been reactive to conversations I've been involved with and studies that I've been involved with on the internet and in real life here in the North, in Canada, New Brunswick. So listen, I don't think that we need to focus so much on baptism as the Lord's church. I think we do a great disservice. Now, that being said, I just put out three or four pieces of content, big pieces of content, talking about baptism because it is needed. We are attacked. We have to obey the gospel. Oh, that's amazing. Y'all, this is kind of turning into a commercial for LaBeth, and I don't even care. I'm going to read this. Sessions with LaBeth have helped me with work struggle, stress, and care as a caregiver, a weariness as a Christian. I need to schedule more time with her. Paige, that is amazing. I didn't even know that you were. See, a lot of LaBeth doesn't communicate with me about this because she protects it. It's confidential. Paige, I didn't even know that you had scheduled sessions with her. That's amazing. Anyway, so back to the podcast. Again, like I said, this has turned into a big commercial for LaBeth at Be A Mindful Soul, www.beamindfulsoul.com, and I don't even care. All right, so back to the podcast. We have to preach the whole counsel of God, and I do think we do a disservice with baptism sometimes, and we kind of perpetuate the myth, the stereotype, that us, quote-unquote, folks in the Church of Christ or you Church of Christers believe in a work salvation. I don't know of anybody that believes in a work salvation. In other words, you can earn your salvation, that you can ever be good enough of your own accord to earn salvation. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you are born and you live 100 years and you die and you never ever commit a sin, the only thing that you are entitled to is a negative. You are entitled not to spend an eternity in hell. You are not entitled to heaven. You are not entitled to spend an eternity with God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus makes us entitled. All right, and I use that word on purpose. If we are in Christ, we are entitled to salvation because God said so, not because of anything we have done, just because God said so. So I want to get that straight right out of the bat. Now, let's talk about this article. Saved by Grace Through Faith, The Pathway of Obedience. In the fabric of Christian theology, few verses echo as profoundly as Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. These verses encapsulate the core of our faith and the life-altering influence of God's grace. However, they also beckon us to explore a profound truth. that faith serves as the pathway through which we access God's grace. Our obedience is the means by which we journey along the narrow path to an eternal home in heaven. So let's talk about faith as a pathway. Verse 8, Ephesians 2:8 declares, "For by grace we are saved through faith." This verse stands as a cornerstone of our journey, reminding us that God's grace is the source of our salvation, and it's through faith that we enter into this realm of divine favor. Imagine faith as a pathway, a route that connects our fallen human existence to the boundless grace of God. It's along this pathway that we must journey towards the transformative gift of grace abundantly and freely bestowed on all who simply reach out and take it. Obviously, it's an article, so I don't have 10,000 words, but I think about Titus 2:11 and following with that transformative grace. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust," here's the transformation, "we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." So if faith is a pathway, faith connects our fallen human existence to this transformative grace. And we must traverse through that corridor of faith in order to get that transformative grace. If someone lived 100 without sin, there would be no condemnation for that individual. Sin is what separates us from God, but biblically we know that we can never be the case because everyone has sinned against God. Well, not everyone has sinned against God. There are little babies that never sin. So I think we need to put Romans 3 in its context. Romans 3 in its context is talking generally, because if a little baby is born and then it dies 3, 5, 7, 8 days later, or even 8 months later, that baby has never been accountable to a law. Therefore, that baby has never transgressed a law. That baby has never sinned. So again, that baby is not entitled to heaven. That baby is only entitled to not spending an eternity in hell. That's the purpose. I used the wrong word. That's the point that I was making there. What if I was baptized as a baby and now as an adult, do I need to be baptized again? Katie, that is an absolutely excellent question. Do I want to get into this? Katie, I want to answer that question in another podcast. That question is important, and that question touches on the purpose of baptism. I would love to answer that question in another podcast. If you would, be sure to follow me, and I will talk about that question in another podcast. I may write a dedicated article on Substack that answers your question. Short answer, we need, again, we don't want to focus too much on baptism, because I say this sometimes when I preach. Of course, where I preach, we don't have a baptistry in the building, but usually whenever you preach in a church building, there's a baptistry behind the pulpit. And I'll say sometimes, "Listen, look at me, listen to me. If you come up here 3 times a day and just soaked in this tub, this baptistry, it wouldn't help you unless you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you desire to have a relationship with him." Romans 6, 17 and 18. "But God be thanked, you were," past tense, "the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed." That denotes a continual state of being, that the inception of which was obedience in the past. That form of doctrine which was delivered to you. What form of doctrine was delivered? Well, in Romans 6, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The form, excuse me, I'm ahead of myself. The form is being buried with him in baptism, being raised again to walk in newness of life. The doctrine that was delivered is the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you have to obey from the heart. That's with sincerity and an understanding of what you're doing. And you have to obey the proper form. That is the death, burial, and resurrection. Folks, Romans 6 is clear. That's carried out in baptism. Baptism alone is as worthless as faith alone, is belief alone, as confession or repentance alone. Nothing, quote unquote, alone saves. So to answer your question, Katie, little babies cannot obey from the heart. Only adults can obey from the heart. But we don't want to put an undue emphasis on any one thing. And I think that's why folks in the Church of Christ get a bad rap, is because we, including myself, have put undue emphasis on one particular act. So I do want to flesh that. I do want to flesh out your question and everything. But thank you for asking it. And hello, and folks, there's Facebook user. I don't know your name. It's not letting me know. But good afternoon or good morning and all that good stuff. Hello, Scott Wall. Good to see you. I hope you're doing well. Yeah, the individual would definitely sin in the span of 100 years. Justin, do you not know what a hypothetical is? All right. That's it, Katie. Faith without works is nothing. That's James chapter 2. Oh, hey, Mike Osnes. Man, I hope your feet are doing better. I know that's for those of you that don't know the history there, that's kind of odd. Mike has had some feet surgery. And I'm very interested in the surgery that you had, by the way. Well, that's all I'm going to say about that. And it takes all the components collectively to be effective. Yes. Listen, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you confess, if you repent of your sins, but you just stop there, you're no better off as if you didn't believe. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you allow somebody to baptize you, you're no better off. You just went down into the water, a dry sinner, and you come up a wet sinner. Michael Martin, good. Yes, it's a good point. Ephesians were baptized again for the correct reason, and Michael, this is no reflection of your comment. Thank you for the comment. I'm going to, for the sake of the podcast, be very, 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 probably overly pedantic and nitpicky. Technically, they weren't quote unquote baptized again, because they were never really baptized in the first place, because they were baptized with the wrong baptism. Tony, I know it's confusing, but here's the point that I want to make. This word baptism has taken on a meaning over a couple of thousand years. And take for instance, if you and I are walking beside a swimming pool and I bear hug you, and I dunk you in the swimming pool, technically you're baptized. But are you really baptized? Well, it's the proper form, but there's no involvement of the heart. So when it comes to your salvation, from the standpoint of salvation, from the standpoint of being obedient to God, if you repented of your sins, confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and submitted yourself to the water grave of baptism, then the way you would conceptualize that is, well, I was baptized once. Now, I was dunked a time or two when I didn't know what was going on, but I've only been baptized once. Again, I'm not, quote unquote, well, actually in your question. I'm just kind of fleshing it out there. The nomenclature, like, we have to use nomenclature that people understand. So the easiest thing to do is just accommodate folks. And if somebody says, hey, you know, I was baptized, but I didn't even believe that Jesus was the Son of God, do I need to be baptized again? Well, yes. Like, there's no sense in having a 15-minute discourse on pedantics and semantics. just say yes, and then bury that person with Christ and raise them up again so they can walk in newness of life. Oh, thank you, Michael. I appreciate you, sir. And I figured you would. All right. Anyway, and Oshness, Mike Oshness says, I'll message you later. Cool beans. Now, let's get back to the article. Let's talk about faith as a pathway. In Ephesians 2:8 declares, for by grace are you saved through faith. This verse stands as a cornerstone of our journey, reminding us that God's grace is the source of our salvation. And it's through faith that we enter into this realm of divine favor. Imagine faith as a pathway, a route that connects. You know what? I've read this. I'm going to read it anyway. A route that connects our fallen human existence to the boundless grace of God. It's along this pathway that we must journey towards the transformative gift of grace, abundantly and freely bestowed on all who simply reach out and take it. Now let's talk about grace, the unmerited gift. And it is unmerited. There's nothing we can do to earn it. It doesn't matter if you let me dunk. It doesn't matter if you let me pretend like the seashore is a washboard and I'm trying to wash you physically. I'm just too dunk, 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 dunk. It doesn't matter. It's got to be the proper involvement of the heart. All right? It's got to be done with an understanding. Now, Ephesians 2:8, and you cannot earn your salvation. Ephesians 2:8 further states, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace is the gift that awaits us at the end of the pathway. It is unmerited favor. It's the unmerited favor of God, a gift we could never earn through our efforts alone. Imagine, if you will, a person drowning in a vast sea, desperately trying to swim their way back to safety. Just when they're on the brink of exhaustion, a rescuer arrives offering a lifeline. The height of absurdity is believing the drowning one is somehow earning the salvation of the lifeline, or that the salvation of the lifeline is not a free gift just because they have to reach out and take it. Our works, regardless of their merit, can never earn nor purchase the gift. Grace is freely given by a loving God who desires to shower us with his blessings. What role do we play? We must reach out in his prescribed way and take it. All right? We must reach out in his prescribed way and take it. Now, let's talk about obedience as a means of progression through our lives. Ephesians 2:10 introduces an essential aspect of Christian living. I got a typo. I didn't put the word of. Ephesians 2:10 introduces an essential aspect Christian living. I either need a comma or I need a preposition. Anyway, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Our faith journey is not static. It entails walking, advancing, growing. Remember Titus 2:11? You can conceptualize Titus 2:11 and following. Live, look. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that leave denying ungodliness and worldly lust. You got to leave that stuff behind. You got to live soberly, righteously, godly. You got to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our faith journey is not static. If we stand still, we're not going to be saved in the end. We're not going to travel towards our final destination of heaven. We have to walk. Remember, it'd be a good thing to put in the article. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But you can't walk and stand still. You don't walk in place. We are traveling down the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. You got to walk, folks. It's walking, advancing, growing. In the context of Paul's message, good works is not the obedient acts that allow one to traverse the corridor of faith, granting access to the saving grace of Jesus. Good works, rather, are a life lived faithfully after we have laid hold on our gift of grace. Paul's message to the faithful in Christ who have already traversed the corridor of faith and received the gift of grace, look at Ephesians 1:1, is that they and we are God's workmanship. It means that we are not deviating from our intended purpose. We were created to walk this journey of faith in Christ. Living a purposeful life and fulfilling life is one of the rewards of grace. That, not to mention our salvation when our Lord Jesus returns. What is up? Oh, that's interesting. Melissa Price says, hello, Tony. Titus 2:11 has a heading, Trained by Saving Grace. Is it correct to say that grace is training us? Yes, 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 and mo yes. And incidentally, grace personified in that context is Jesus Christ. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. Who brought salvation? Jesus came, brought salvation with him, folks. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto how many men? All men. It ain't limited. It is up to us to journey through this corridor of faith and have access to this free gift. And the gift of grace is transformative. And that's what we're going to talk about now. Let's talk about faith and obedience in harmony. James 2:17 and 18 beautifully complements this concept. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, that's the KJV vernacular. Let me put it to you in modern vernacular. There's a bunch of you out there whose mouth says they have faith. Your mouth is always wagging. You're always talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk. I'm over here walking the walk, and because I'm walking the walk, I'm too busy to have my mouth wag to talk the talk. You know I'm actually walking the walk by virtue of the fact that I'm walking. You know I have faith by virtue of the fact that I'm living faithfully. I don't have to tell you I have faith. If somebody has to tell you they have faith, that's like somebody having to tell you they're tough. I think it's funny that in this modern world where people claim to be able to heal the sick and raise the dead and all that stuff, and they go about trying to prove they can do it with Scripture. Why? Just do it. If you say you can do a miracle, don't try to prove it logically. Just do it. Everybody in the first century that was able to do miracles, they never had to prove it by Scripture. They just proved it by doing it. You say you have faith, but you don't have any works. I don't have to say I have faith because I have works. All right. I have defined faith as the action we take based on our beliefs. In the context of believing in Jesus as the Son of God and his sacrifice for our sins, our action is obeying the gospel by calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16, Romans 10:13. This act leads us through the corridor of faith to the destination of grace. Once there, we live a life of faith marked by actions stemming from our belief in salvation and Christ's imminent return. We walk in the good works for which we were created. I probably need to add, in Christ Jesus. So let's talk about this journey of obedience. Once we are saved, once we lay hold of this free gift of grace, we still are journeying through this life, and it needs to be a life of obedience. Philippians 2:12-13 reminds us that obedience is not a one-time event, but an ongoing journey. Listen to it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Listen, lean in and listen to this. Once we have traveled through the corridor of faith to have access to the free gift of grace, God empowers us to walk in obedience. Our journey is marked by a growing desire to align our will with God's, to obey His commands out of love and reverence. Then, at the end, we will be found faithful and hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." When trying to explain Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, people always throw up Ephesians 1, 13 at me. I think I know what that reads, but let me double check to make sure, and we'll see if we can't get you not that you're unable, but just for the sake of the podcast, let's see if we can't get a quick rebuttal. Ephesians 1:13. "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Yeah. Well, all you got to do, stay in Ephesians 2:8-10 and just tell them, like, look, Ephesians 2:8-10 is in the Bible. It does not contradict Ephesians 1:13. Here's the thing. Folks really don't believe that you're saved at the point of belief. Explain to them how that belief alone doesn't save any more than baptism alone or repentance alone or confession alone or obedience for the sake of obedience. In other words, obedience alone. It takes all of it. And explain to them a part of speech called synecdoche, which is saying a part for the whole. Here, belief is a figure of speech called a synecdoche. And belief is used as a synecdoche, using one part for the whole process. And we do that in the Lord's church. Hey, that John Smith over there has he been baptized? Now, what we mean is he in a saved condition, living faithfully in Christ? Well, we just use a part for the whole. I think we do a detriment when we do that. I think the Holy Spirit did it here. We were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise after we believed. Well, if you take the contemporary interpretation of a bunch of verses, you can go to those verses and say, look, see, these people were believed. They weren't sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise until they obeyed. So yeah, good comment there. Sorry, I lost the word comment. The unmerited gift of grace is the mercy that is bestowed upon those who are obedient through faith. That may be a good way to conceptualize it. Let me push back on that just a little bit. Because of the grace that was freely given, God is justified in showing mercy. Grace freely given is something we don't deserve. We get something we don't deserve. We haven't earned. Because we have received that which we do not earn and do not deserve, we are able to be saved from, shown mercy to, that which we did earn and we do deserve. God could not be just in allowing us to live if it were not for the gift of grace already given. So there's a sense in which mercy is a gift and grace is a gift. But yeah, I have no problem with your statement there. The unmerited gift of grace is the mercy that is bestowed upon those who are obedient through faith. All right. So let's wrap this up. Ephesians 2:8-10 paints a vivid picture of our salvation journey. Faith is the pathway that leads to the abundant grace of God. Hold on. Faith is the pathway that leads to the abundant grace of God, and obedience, good works, is how we navigate a life lived faithfully. Grace is God's precious gift, unearned and undeserved. As we walk in faith and obedience, our lives become a testimony of God's transforming grace. It's not about striving to be worthy of grace. It's about allowing grace to transform us, compelling us to live a life of obedience and gratitude. May we continue to journey along the pathway of life, knowing that God's grace is always there to meet us and transform us and to guide us on this incredible journey toward our final destination. Folks, I've loved these studies that I've had in the last few days over this. I've really, really loved. Let me see if I can get this comment from Scott. Paul told Timothy to abound in the grace that is in Jesus, 2 Timothy 2:1. Jesus is that grace that the Father gave us by his unmerited gift before the world was even formed. How was Timothy to abound in that grace which is in Christ? I think John 14:22-23 answers that question. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved. Ooh, we jumped. Hold on. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Well, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's it. I like that term. And sorry, excellent comment, Scott, and it really doesn't need any commentary. I mean, it just is what it is. It's the truth. And if you want to abound in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and bask in the glory of the gift that God gave and take comfort in the knowledge that we are not getting what we deserve, i.e. mercy, then we're not getting what we deserve, i.e. punishment, but we are getting mercy, which is a shielding from what we deserve, then if you love me, keep my commandments, and you're my friends if you do what I say, 15, John 14, 15, and 15, 14. And of course, these verses that you've given. That's it. And I think this is Mike Austin. He says, I like the term gratitude. Yes, listen, it is. Go read Romans 1, and there's a phrase, neither were they thankful. And the way I conceptualize this in Romans 1 is that all these people who became wise in their own eyes, that God gave up to a reprobate mind, the first step was they stopped having an attitude of gratitude. All right, folks, I didn't know what kind of podcast this would be because of the holiday, but man alive, we've been well attended. And the comments have been amazing. And There's a Katie Smith that listens all the time. Katie Powers, I'm so thankful that you found us, and I hope you follow us. I want to maybe write an article or something like that that answers your question more thoroughly, and we'd love for you to stick around and follow our content and learn more about how to live this glorious life in Christ Jesus, harmoniously walking in faith and your obedience and God's grace and God's mercy all working together so that you can have an eternal home in heaven when Jesus returns. Awesome, Susan Marie. Thank you so much. Listen, be sure and subscribe to my Substack. The link, let me see here. Let me put the link in one more time. Yes, if you're wondering, this is blatant, unashamed self-promotion. Now, let me do something else, something I haven't done all. I have stopped really talking about support for the podcast monetarily. Listen, I'm not just begging you for money. These mics, all this stuff, the time and everything costs money. And we have some goals that we want to meet in the future, Aaron Dotson and myself, with on the Christianity Now brand, and it's going to take some money. We have a group of patrons on Patreon, and we have, and you can go www.patreon.com/Christianity Now. I put out content weekly that's exclusive to our monetary supporters. Now, if you look at the QR code on the top left, you can scan that QR code and go to www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now, and you can do a one-time donation of $5, and you can get on our mailing list and forever. Or you can go to Patreon, and for as little as $1 a month or as much as $1 million a month, I guess, you can support us monetarily. And for as long as you're supporting us as a patron, you'll be on our mailing list that way. My suggestion is, if you want to do a continual support, do it on Patreon. But if you ever decide to stop the continual support, just go throw $5 at the Buy Me a Coffee. And that way you can not have to do the continual support and you'll still be on the mailing list. Do I accept Cash App? I don't know. maybe I need to figure out about Cash App. The problem is my checking account is in Canada, and I don't know if Cash App services Canada. I could be wrong. I know I do accept PayPal, and PayPal is just nearchurches@gmail.com. That's an old brand. That's an old email that we had back in Arkansas, NEAR, Northeast Arkansas. But anyway, so nearchurches@gmail.com. And, okay. Well, sorry, I'm clicking on the wrong. Well, Xavier, I'm going to have to look into that. Many channels use Cash App as just a tip jar. I didn't know that. Okay. I kind of figured that's what, Buy Me a Coffee was, you know, like, hey, if you like what we're doing, buy me a coffee, you know, or if you like the content, buy me a coffee. But the problem is it's $5. I guess they've adjusted for inflation. I wish it was, hey, do you like what we're doing? Buy me a coffee and you could do as little as a dollar. So anyway, I'm uncomfortable talking about money. Xavier, I think I'm going to look into getting a Cash App for a tip jar. And, if you don't want to do Buy Me a Coffee or Patreon, nearchurches@gmail.com, you can just send me a PayPal. And other than that, that's all I've got. God bless every one of you. Thank you so much. And remember, like, subscribe, share, be the algorithm for us. Subscribe to the Substack and subscribe to Cogitations Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and Podbean. And that's all I've got. God bless y'all, and we will catch you on the flip side.